I see we survived the wintry blast, at least most of us here. Something kind of struck me whenever we were reading this, and I think for some reason God's justice and his mercy came to mind. Very often, I think we tend to look at God's justice and God's mercy as like two opposite ends of the spectrum. But in reality, they are one and the same. His justice is merciful, and his mercy is just. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm not sure exactly how that all shakes out, but it does occur to me, and listening to our first reading from Isaiah, we hear about this very interesting, very puzzling image of all of these creatures of the world interacting in peace with one another, creatures that would normally be tearing one another apart, you know, just according to nature. I mean, you got carnivores eating grass with oxen. What's the deal with that? It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem real. But when we consider that when we all act as we should, this is all great imagery, though, for what it means to be just to one another. When we all act as we should, when we avoid sin, and when we live virtue, then everybody's taken care of. You know, when we can get outside of ourselves and see the other person and see their needs and their difficulties, then we are able to do the right thing, not just avoid the wrong thing, but to do the right thing and the just thing and the good thing. And then everyone's taken care of. And then in the meantime, of course, others are hopefully helping us with our difficulties and struggles. And then you see that mercy and justice are the same. Mercy and justice are the same. And God's mercy is his justice, and his justice is mercy. And even our reading from the gospel today, John the Baptist, this fiery, irascible figure in the scriptures, again, much like Jesus much of the time, not a nice guy in that sense. Not a nice guy in the sense that he just wants everybody to like him. He didn't care if anybody likes him. It's pretty obvious. He's wearing camel's hair. He's wearing nothing but camel's hair and a leather belt. I mean, the guy's not into comfort. He's not into pretense. He is into the truth. And when these Pharisees and the other and the Sadducees and other leaders of the Jews come up to receive his baptism of repentance, and these are, by the way, I mean, these would have been highly respected members of the religious community. You know, it would have been a whole lot like, you know, maybe the bishop or a bunch of priests or nuns coming up to some function. And you would think that he would greet them with honor and say, you know, I'm glad you're here. What's his response to their showing up? You brood of vipers, he says. Not exactly an honorable salutation. Who warned you against the coming wrath? Who warned you against the coming wrath? So we hear John the Baptist, a godly man. Wow, he seems pretty harsh. He seems like he's a just man, but he doesn't seem like he's a merciful man. Well, I think maybe, the Pharisees and the Sadducees needed that kind of a shaking up, and that in itself was mercy, if it would get them to see things aright, if it would get them to repent of their sins rather than be prideful and say, I got nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong in here. You know, John knew better, and of course God knows better. So sometimes our own guilt, or maybe our own, being convicted interiorly about something that we have done wrong, is God's mercy. It's God's mercy, because he wants us to be fully with him forever. And this one more image from the gospel that I want to kind of to sit with us. This image of the image of the one clearing the threshing floor with the winnowing fan, blowing the chaff away and gathering it and burning it. You know, again, many people at first reading read this as, well, he's separating out the good people from the bad people. Boy, I really hope I'm not a bad person. You know, I don't want to get burned up in the unquenchable fire. But the reality is, virtue and vice dwell in all of us to some degree or another. And so we want the Lord. When it's all said and done, we want the Lord to fan us with the winnowing fan and blow away the chaff and burn it. Because that's the stuff that keeps us from Him. And that's the stuff that keeps us from one another. And so we ask the Lord, we should ask the Lord to help to purify us in that way, even if it's not comfortable. John the Baptist, does anybody ever really stop and consider why the Gospels describe what he wears and what he eats? What does he wear and what does he eat? Well, he wears something that's pretty uncomfortable. Camel's hair, it's rough, it's, you know, it's definitely not luxurious. He is not into comforting himself. He is not into avoiding discomfort. Rather, he embraces it when it comes. What does it matter that he eats locusts and wild honey? He is depending completely on what God provides to him, what he finds in the wilderness as he's out there preaching and baptizing. He is utterly trusting and depending on God to provide for him what he needs. And he does. And he does. It indicates two attitudes that I think we should, once again, try to live in our own lives in some way, in some small way, you know, and to notice where it is that we seek comfort rather than goodness, or where it is that we seek to do things ourselves rather than depend on God, to straighten out the ways in our lives that are crooked. So let's ask the Lord. Oh, and once again, how do we do that? How do we make straight this path for the Lord? As I said last week, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, wonderful opportunity to do that. Probably the best way to do that. Is it comfortable? No. Is it depending utterly on God's mercy and His providence? Yes. Yes, it is. You're laying yourself out there before God's minister and you're saying, I've done this. That's not comfortable by any stretch. And yet, it is merciful. It's allowing yourself to experience the mercy of God as well as His justice, which, again, are both the same thing.